All right, gentlemen, hold on to your thoughts. We're going to cross over to our social media pages and see what our viewers have to say about this.
Where was Saudi Air Force when Israel attacked Gaza day and night for 51 days? Why Saudi, Egypt, Qatar, and Kuwait and Pakistan didn't form a coalition when Israel massacred Palestinians? But when Houthis ask for their due share in government, they're bombed. Why are they attacking Muslims? Where was Saudi Arabia when Gaza got attacked? Where were they when Lebanon was attacked by Israel in 2006? They're protecting Al-Qaeda. They want Yemen to remain Al-Qaeda's playground. They have no right to attack Yemen. It's their internal issue. Saudi will be given a good lesson this time from the Houthi movement. They think Yemen and the Houthis are like the oppressed Bahraini people. This is what Israel wanted so as they can divide more between Shia and Sunnis. By the way, both are Muslims and the Wahhabis always been on the Jewish side rather than Muslims, brothers. What is going on in Yemen is a shame for all Arabs. Our enemy is just Israel.
All right, those were some of the comments being put forth by our viewers as this conversation continues on our social media pages. And now, Mr. Murphy, as you just heard, there was a lot of questioning of the motives behind Saudi Arabia's invasion of Yemen, many obviously pointing out at the hypocritical stance that Saudi Arabia couldn't mobilize for the sake of Gaza, for the sake of Lebanon when it was attacked by Israel. However, I would like to ask you, how much of this decision to go to war with Yemen had to do with placing Abdurrabbu Mansour Hadi's government back into power, as opposed to the strategic significance of Yemen? Let's not forget the Bab al-Mandeb Strait. How imperative is it for Saudi Arabia to have a complacent Yemeni government installed in Yemen to keep its oil doorway open?
Well, if you're asking why is Saudi Arabia interested in Yemen, concerned about Yemen, I think the Saudis have made it plain over the years. They, for instance, when I was serving in Saudi Arabia in the 1980s, the so-called Yemen file was very much in the hands of the Saudi Minister of Defense, who was then Prince Sultan bin Abdulaziz. It's always been a security concern of Saudi Arabia's as a southern neighbor with a very open, porous border with Saudi Arabia. What is the situation politically in Sana'a, in Yemen? And they have tried in various ways at various times to make clear they want a government in Yemen friendly to Saudi Arabia.
All right, Mr. Al-Ahmad, I'll put the same question to you. How much of this has to do with the Bab al-Mandeb Strait? How much of it is because Saudi Arabia wants a government in place in Yemen, which allows it that free and open access to the strait?
I really don't think it has to do with the strait per se. I think that's a part of it. But really, since 1978 and prior to that, the Saudi government wanted and continued to want a government that is loyal to the Saudi monarchy, a government not only in Yemen, but across the region, who are basically working as agents for the Saudi monarchy. They have done that in Qatar, where they tried to overthrow the former ruler there because he wanted to become independent. They have done that, invaded Bahrain when they saw that they might lose influence there. They did the same thing in Kuwait, where they are basically taken over Kuwait politically to prevent it from making its own decision. So this is nothing new. Even Egypt, they did not allow a government to have more independence, to be fairly elected under the Muslim Brotherhood, Mohamed Morsi. So they are not, this is nothing new for the Saudis. They think they are a hegemon, and everybody should listen to them and obey their orders. So this is a long history. This is a 50-year history of Saudi intervention into other countries to overthrow their governments and to make them submit to its will. Really, this has nothing to do with even sectarian agenda. You know, the Saudi monarchy is the ultra sectarian force in the world, but. This is really has to do with you must follow us or we will overthrow you, we will demonize you, and we'll bring the Western powers, which have done, the United States has gone to war to defend the Saudi monarchy more than any war or conflict that has it got involved in the past 50 years. Saudi Arabia really served, or the U.S. has served as the army for the Saudi monarchy for the past 50 years.
All right, we've been talking about Saudi Arabia's role as well as the U.S. backing of it. However, Mr. Murphy, I'd like to pick on what you think as far as the Houthi response would be to this, because Abdel Malik al-Houthi, just speaking a few minutes ago, did say that if this aggression continues, all options are on the table. What does he mean? Mr. Murphy, are you with us?
Sorry, were you asking me a question?
Yes, yes. When Abdel Malik al-Houthi says all options are on the table, what does he mean?
Yes, but I... that all actions are...
All options are on the table.
Say again.
All right, let me cross over to Mr. Al-Ahmad. Mr. Al-Ahmad, we're quickly running out
all
of time.
All options are on the table.
When Abdel Malik al-Houthi says all options are on the table, what does he mean?
Well, I think we could see another scenario we saw in 2009 when al-Houthi rebels at the time were a few hundred fighters with Kalashnikovs and RPGs, where they were able to take Saudi territory and hold them until the ceasefire was concluded. This time, the power of this force is not Houthis anymore. It's Ansarullah. It's the popular committees with the majority of the Yemeni army. They can actually easily invade Saudi Arabia, take territories, and especially the southern region of Jizan, which is very close to the Yemeni border. And
okay.
Last time the Saudi had, this produced 50,000 Saudi refugees who are still refugees. And this, any Yemeni invasion of Saudi Arabia will create huge chaos in Saudi Arabia, resulting in at least 500,000 refugees and evacuation.
All right, let's leave it there. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. That's Director of IGA Ali Al-Ahmad joining us from Washington. Joining us from New York is former U.S. Ambassador to Saudi Arabia, Richard William Murphy. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your input in this edition of The Debate. For me and the entire team, it's goodbye.